is my guide, Attar is my guide. By the grace of Allah, Attar is my guide. My Murshid has changed millions of lives. The prophetic Sunnah, he is revived. The leader of the Sunnis, he is our pride. By the grace of Allah, Attar is my guide.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to this beautiful silsila where in brief we will discuss many important points regarding an oath in Islam. Those who take oaths, those who break oaths, these kind of details in brief rather, inshallah ta'ala, we will discuss. So stay with us inshallah. Initially, in this beginning period of the silsila, please try to make as many good intentions as you possibly can to gain maximum rewards. For example, according to your situation, your condition, make the intention that I will listen to this silsila from beginning to end for the pleasure of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. I will note down the important points and try to act upon them. I will try to encourage them amongst my family members, my spouse, my children, my friends and in my society. In this manner, whatever other good intentions you can think of, make them now. Inshallah ta'ala, we will gain maximum thawab and rewards. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, there are countless benefits and blessings for those who recite abundant amounts of durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl-Sunnah, the founder of Dawud Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal, Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Razwi Ziyai, Dam Barakatuhum al-Aliyah, has mentioned a very, very beautiful hadith with regards to the benefits and the blessings of recitation of durood and salawat. Listen attentively. Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he has narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, there are some touring angels, when they pass by the gatherings of dhikr, they say to each other, these angels, they say to each other, sit here. When the dhakireen, those who are making the dhikrullah in that gathering, when they make dua, then the angels say ameen to their dua. When they recite Salat ala Nabi, that is Durood, the angels also recite Salat with them. When they disperse, when they leave, then the angels say to each other that they are glad tidings for these fortunate people as they are returning with forgiveness. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. Therefore, dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, these days, most people, they tend to swear oaths over trivial matters. Regarding the previous hadith that was mentioned now, do not forget to join the Ijtima of Dawud Islami in your locality, in your area, for Islamic brothers, for Islamic sisters as well. Inshallah ta'ala, you will gain these benefits, that angels, the pure angels of Allah Azza wa Jal, they attend and they say Ameen. And they give glad tidings as well. About the topic, our Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl-Sunnah Dam Barakatuhum al-Aliyah has presented a very beautiful and informative risala, a booklet by the name of Madani Pearls About Oath, regarding, in brief, the different kinds of oath, those who break an oath, what is the compensation for this, and other such details. Stay with us, inshallah. We will go into some of those details, inshallah ta'ala. As mentioned earlier, many people, they make oaths, they take oaths or they swear oaths over very insignificant, very trivial matters. Some people, they even swear false oaths. That is, they make an oath or they break their oath or they take false oaths as well. They daringly take these false oaths. Generally, such people neither make tawbah, neither repent, nor do they pay atonement for breaking their oaths or making false oaths. Therefore, Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnah Dam Barakatum Al Aliya has presented this Madani Pearls about an oath in the form of a risala, in the form of a booklet, to educate us and to study these principles and Madani Pearls, so that we can, inshallah ta'ala, not get caught up in the wrong practices of taking false oaths or breaking oaths, these kind of things. Now, the Arabic word for an oath is yameen. Now, this means towards the right side. As the Arabs, they used to shake right hands with each other while swearing an oath, and they began to call it yameen. The word yameen is derived from the word yumn, which means blessing and power. As the blessed name of Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioned at the time of swearing an oath or taking an oath, enhancing the importance of what the oath swearing person says, this may also be a reason that it is called yameen, that is the conversation of blessing and power. In terms of the Islamic sacred law, the Sharia, an oath is such a pledge by which the oath swearing person makes a firm intention of doing or avoiding some act. For instance, if somebody said, "By Allah Azza wa Jal, I will pay back all of your debt tomorrow," this is an oath, an example of an oath. There are three types of oaths: lahu, ghamus, and munaqida. How many oaths? Three types of oaths: lahu, ghamus, and munaqida. Lahu is an oath that a person swears about some past or current matter, assuming it to be true due to some misunderstanding. But what he has said is the opposite of this fact. Let us give you an example. Somebody swore an oath that, "By Allah Azza wa Jal, Zaid is not present at home." He said, "By Allah Azza wa Jal, Zaid is not present at home." Now, his information was that Zaid was not present at home, and he even took an oath, he swore an oath considering this to be true, but in fact Zaid was present at home. This type of oath is called lahu, lam, ghain, waw, lahu, and it is excused. According to Islam and Sharia, it is excused. There is no atonement or compensation for this kind of oath. Secondly, the second form of oath that could be taken is called ghamus. This is a false oath that a person intentionally, deliberately swears about some past or current matter. For example, despite knowing that Zaid is not present at home, somebody swears an oath that Zaid is present at home. This type of oath is called ghamus. And the one who has sworn this type of oath is an extreme sinner, a very big sinner, major sinner actually. It is fard, absolutely compulsory, for him to repent of this sin, to make tawbah from this false oath. However, it is not necessary and obligatory for him to pay any compensation or atonement for this oath. Now, the third oath, called munaqida. Munaqida is an oath that a person swears about some future matter. For instance, he said that, "I swear by Allah Azza wa Jal that I will certainly come to your home tomorrow." If the person does not come the next day, then his oath will be broken. His oath will break, and he will have to pay atonement and compensation for this. In some cases, he will also be a sinner. Yes, he will also become a sinner. Our beloved master, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, the owner of Jannah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated, as reported in Sahih Bukhari Sharif, that associating a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal, disobeying parents, killing someone, and swearing a false oath are all major sins. Tubu ilallah, astaghfirullah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Since Satan, the disgraced and cursed one, Shaitan, had been cursed because of not making sajda, because of not prostrating to Sayyiduna Nabi Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, he was intent on harming Sayyiduna Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal had allowed Sayyiduna Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam and Sayyidatuna Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha to live in Jannah, to live in paradise and to eat whatever they like. But he Azza wa Jal had forbidden them from approaching a certain tree. Allah Azza wa Jal had forbidden them from this. Now Satan the cursed and disgraced, somehow he managed to reach where they were staying and he said, should I not tell you the tree of paradise? Sayyiduna Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam forbade him. But Satan the disgraced and cursed swore that he was their well-wisher, assuming that no one can swear a false oath with the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyidatuna Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha ate something from that tree. She then gave the thing to Sayyiduna Nabi Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, who also ate it. It is reported and recorded in the glorious Quran, Suratul A'raf, verse number 20 and 21. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فوسوس لهما الشيطان ليبدي لهما ما وري عنهما من سوآتهما وقال ما نهاكما ربكما عن هذه الشجرة إلا أن تكونا ملكين أو تكونا من الخالدين وقاسمهما إني لكما لمن الناصحين. Translation from Kanzun Iman. Then Satan put evil suggestion in their hearts so that he might open to them the things of their shame which were hidden from them, and said, your Rabb has forbidden you from this tree only because you too may not become angels or immortals. And he swore to them, I am a well-wisher of you both. Commenting on these verses, Sayyid Muhammad Naeemuddin Murad Abadi alayhi rahmatullahi al-hadi has stated in his world-famous Khazain al-Irfan, these verses imply that the cursed and disgraced Satan deceived Sayyiduna Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam by swearing a false oath. Satan the cursed was the first to swear a false oath. Sayyiduna Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam could not even imagine that anyone could tell a lie by swearing an oath mentioning the glorious name of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why he trusted what Satan had said. Our beloved master, the owner of Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, has stated, one who deprives a Muslim of his right by swearing an oath, Allah azza wa jal will make it wajib, absolutely necessary for him to enter Jahannam, for him to enter hell, and will declare Jannah, will declare paradise, haram and forbidden for him. He sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was asked, even if it is a little thing, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam replied, even if it is a twig of pilu, that is the Salvadora persica, a kind of tree. Salvadora Pasika is a tree whose roots and branches are used in making miswak as well. In Arabic, it is called Al-Arak. Once, a Hadrami, that is a person from Hadramaut, which is a city in Yemen, and a Kindi, a person from the tribe of Kinda, they brought a dispute to the court of the most noble Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam over a piece of land in Yemen. The Hadrami said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, his father had seized my land which is now in his possession. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam asked, do you have any witnesses? He replied, no, but I will make him swear by Allah Azza wa Jal that he does not know that I am the owner of the land that his father had seized. The Kindi was prepared to swear the oath, so the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, the one unlawfully taking someone's wealth by swearing a false oath will be presented in the divine court in such a state that his hands and feet will have been cut. Now listening to this, the Kindi admitted that the land did belong to him, the Hadrami. Commenting on this blessed hadith, the renowned commentator of the beautiful hadith and glorious Quran, Hakimul Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan, alayhi rahmatul mannan, he has stated, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, this is the effect of the blessed tongue that uttered just a few words and changed the entire inner condition of the Kindi, making him tell the truth and renouncing his claim to the land. Subhanallah. Dishonest landlords, farmers, village chiefs, etc., who have seized hired farmlands of the people, and those who have seized other people's lands by bribery and have had buildings constructed on them, should all make tawbah and repent immediately and make up for the people's rights, uququl ibad, the rights of the people that they have violated. A blessed hadith in Sahih Muslim has stated, the one unjustifiably taking someone's as much piece of land as a hand span will be made to wear the manacles of 7 pieces of land around his neck on the day of judgment. Tubu ila Allah, astaghfirullah, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some people unlawfully block the public pathway, therefore causing severe discomfort to people in some cases. For example, in some countries, during the days of Eid al-Adha, some people unlawfully block whole streets at some places for the purpose of selling, hiring, or even slaughtering sacrificial animals. Or some people, they throw their garbage on the pathways, causing trouble and inconvenience to others. Some people purchase sand. They purchase sand and iron rods for construction, and then the heaps of these things remain lying unnecessarily on the public paths for months, even after the construction. Or, on the occasion of nikah, of marriage, or funeral, or niyaz, etc. Some people, in some countries of the world, they cook food in those huge pots, in cauldrons, in streets, on the pathways that sometimes leaves craters on the ground. These craters are then filled with mud and dirty water, causing diseases to spread, especially by mosquitoes. Some people have roads dug, but do not have them leveled by plastering or by putting tar after the need is met. Others unlawfully occupy the space of the public pathway for living or for business, therefore narrowing the way of the people. There is a matter of great concern for all these kind of people. In his book, The Deeds Leading to Hell, Volume 1, containing 853 pages, published by Dawud Islami's Publishing Department, Maktabatul Madina. Imam Ahmad bin Hajar Makki Shafi'i, alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi. He has included the act of occupying public pathways in major sins, or among the major sins. On page 816 of the book, he has stated, "It is a major sin to make unlawful use of the public pathway, causing severe trouble to pedestrians." Dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, indeed, it is a very great danger for us to obstruct and to violate Huququl Ibad, that is, the rights of the people. It is a great danger for us to take false oaths, as we can see, in usurping other people's lands or doing dhulm and oppression on others. And as our ulama ikram have mentioned, that false oaths, to break oaths, these kind of things fall in among the major sins as well. May Allah Azza wa Jal, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, save us from taking false oaths or from breaking our promises and oaths. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Attar is my guide, Attar is my guide, by the grace of Allah, Attar is my guide. My murshid has changed millions of lives, the prophetic sunnah, he is revived. The leader of the Sunnis, he is our pride. By the grace of Allah, Attar is my guide.